SeattleSports.com.
Now back to Chuck and Buck on your home for the 12th man in the NFL. Seattle's original diehard sports station. Sports Radio 950 KJR.
You should hear Bucky karaoke this.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, one of my best, actually.
Nails it. Yeah.
I got to get in falsetto now. Back in the day, when I was a first tenor, I could have done this just, you know, just right out of bed.
I
got to warm up a little bit.
So sure.
Oh, yeah. No, he nails it.
Nails it.
Yeah. Back when he had his mullet and he would whip his hair around, that was a really good effect.
Yeah.
He would just rail on the song.
Yeah. What a horrible hairdo that was.
Yeah, he would throw shade. Is that the right way to use it?
Not quite. No. It's what I did earlier.
Okay.
Okay.
That's right. That's right. It's Chuck and Buck in the Morning, Sports Radio 950 KJR. We're going to talk some college football. Our guest now is Chris Vanini. He is a national college football writer for The Athletic. He also writes, if I'm reading his report here correctly, his Twitter page here, he is out of Dallas, where they take their football a little seriously there in that part of the country. And so he joins us now to give the national perspective on what the Pac-12 is trying to decide and when they should decide it. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. Before we start talking football, your karaoke go-to song, what is it?
I think Carry On My Wayward Son is a pretty fun fun one if I have to choose. I've not done karaoke as much as I would like, I have to say. But doing some Evanescence there on that intro would be pretty entertaining as well.
Well, that's a big leap. Yeah, you might want to save that to the professionals. All right. I'll buy a ticket to hear Chris Vanini jam to some Carry On My Wayward Son. All right. let's take advantage of your specialty, and that is covering college football. From your national perspective, what is the view of how the Pac-12 has handled this season and this pandemic situation?
Well, generally, I think people have been accepting of the Pac-12's decision, unlike the Big Ten. I mean, for the past handful of weeks, we've had protests, we've had lawsuits, we've had all sorts of drama around the Big Ten, and you just haven't had that around the Pac-12. And for one, the Pac-12 was much better in explaining why it postponed. It released a 12-page document with its medical advisors basically saying why they didn't feel it was safe, and that was generally accepted. And it certainly is a factor that there's not as much fervor around college football compared to Big Ten country, obviously. But, you know, and then you throw in state restrictions that people know about. You throw in the wildfires going on now. And people were outside of Pac-12 country. People were understanding, I think, that the Pac-12 had a lot of things that it had to deal with. And one of those was not, again, lawsuits and fans and comments from the president.
Chris, what are some of the things that you feel that maybe that's going to still have to take place before they can get this thing underway?
Well, first, the California schools in the LA, they got to get back to the office. I mean, they haven't even really been around their football buildings at all. I know it's going to take more than 4 or 5 weeks for some of these schools to get back going, get ready for games if they end up coming back. Obviously, it hasn't happened yet. Some states have state restrictions that California Governor Gavin Newsom appeared to pull back on yesterday. There are still county restrictions that need to be figured out. There's a lot of just, you know, government stuff that you have to figure out, and then you have to get your players back in shape. They haven't been some of these teams have not been working out and practicing as you have had in the Big Ten and places like that. So it's going to take quite a bit of time for Pac-12 schools, at least some of them, to really get back into a position where they are ready to play a game.
You know, as somebody that at age 49, I've dined a lot, Chris, as you might imagine, usually three squares. And for me, like a complete meal isn't truly satisfying until it ends with some sort of sweet note at the very end of the meal. During the pandemic, usually a complete meal involves a giant glass of vodka. But typically it's just like a little like sweet note at the very end of the meal. I would ask you from the college football standpoint, had they gone forward with a college football season, would it have felt complete? Would it have felt like a complete meal had all five of the power conferences not been involved in it?
I think it's been a weird feeling these first couple of weeks. And honestly, even when the SEC comes back, I don't think it's going to feel quite the same because you have postponements. It's just this whole thing feels uneasy. Yeah. You've got campuses that have 1,000+ cases and we're still playing. We've crossed a lot of barriers that a number of administrators didn't think we would be able to. And you know, when you think about why the Big Ten decided to come back, one of the several reasons is that other people have played, and it has felt weird. If you were to say Texas Tech and LSU said most of their team contracted COVID, campuses have closed. Big Ten campuses have closed. You've had 14 postponed games in 3 weeks, and then the Big Ten would decide to come back. That would have seemed ridiculous a month ago when they made that decision. But what we consider acceptable has shifted throughout the whole pandemic, really, but as it relates to football, as we get used to games getting postponed, teams being down 10 starters, and we just kind of make it through, that becomes acceptable. I use the analogy of, you know, we keep grabbing the fence and it hasn't shocked us yet. It hasn't electrocuted us, and maybe it won't. Maybe we'll get through this and a player won't die or there won't be serious health issues. But we don't know that yet. So it always feels weird every week as we continue to try to go through this.
I had to jump in on Bucky. We alternate questions here, but I just had to follow up on this. This conference out here on the West Coast is getting beat up for not playing right now. You know, fans and, you know, media members and the players themselves are beating up the conference. Are you saying in that comment that maybe the Pac-12 has had it all right the entire time? And that maybe we should have all waited till the spring, and yet it feels like the team, the conference that may be doing it the right way is having to cave to the peer pressure because everybody else is doing it now.
I think there is definitely pressure. I think the biggest statement from a protesting coach or player that made the biggest difference for the Big Ten was Ryan Day saying, Notre Dame is playing, why can't we play? That was the best argument that they had. I have to say, honestly, I think a group that deserves a lot of credit in the Big Ten's return is the Pac-12, because the Pac-12 was the first group to secure daily tests. And once that was on the table, that made it possible for the Big Ten to look back at this again. So it has been a little strange that the Pac-12 was the first group to get this daily testing, and yet it's the Big Ten now who's going to be the first one coming back. Again, there are different issues in different regions of the country. But yeah, now after yesterday with the Big Ten deciding to come back with the rapid testing that the Pac-12 already has, now that pressure is going to ramp up on the Pac-12. And yes, it's going to be everybody else is playing, why can't we? And that is an argument that convinces a lot of people in power, as we saw California change its decisions yesterday.
Do you think there's going to be more players that are going to opt back into this season now that they're saying that they're going to play and it's not going to be pushed possibly to the spring like there was some talk about? Do you think there's going to be some more guys that are going to opt back in, or do you think that there's going to be some guys now that were kind of like, well, that decision was made for me before, and now I don't know for sure if this thing's going to go off without a hitch, and so I'm going to go ahead and opt out? How are you feeling about that?
I mean, I think there will be more players who opt back in. Obviously, if you signed an agent, you can't, although I'm sure some might want to appeal. But there's a lot of momentum for it now. And I think we'll still have players opt out as well. But I do think those that have opted out, if their team is now playing, I do think there will be more players. that choose to opt in, and it makes sense because they were, you know, the Big Ten, you know, they made the decision, and a week later, they announced that the decision would not be revisited. So they opted out, and clearly it was revisited. So I think, you know, we are going to see more people opt back in.
Chris Vanini is with us, national college football writer for The Athletic, joining us here on the program. You can follow him at Chris Vanini, V-A-N-N-I-N-I, for all of his takes and stories regarding college football. So in Chris Vanini's world, how does this thing end? How does this college football season unfold? And do you have hopes that it ends well?
Well, I'm a lot more optimistic that it'll finish. You know, I was highly skeptical that it would get to the end. But now that you have the Big Ten doing daily testing, the Pac-12 has secured daily testing. You have, I think Nick Saban said that they are going to do daily testing. So I would expect perhaps more SEC teams to get on board with that as well. You are seeing more postponements and stuff coming out of the Group of Five where they don't have the resources to do as much testing, so it could get a bit messy down there. But as of right now, I think there's a pretty good chance we get through this. I mean, it still remains, fingers crossed, we don't have a player get seriously sick, hospitalized, or, God forbid, die. That's the biggest concern with all of this. But, you know, some places have shown that we can get through this. And again, our tolerance for what is acceptable is continuing to change. We just got to hope that something catastrophic or long-term doesn't happen yet. And we don't know that yet. So I'm feeling a lot more optimistic that the season will be completed. And that was certainly not the case a few weeks ago.
All right, man. Hey, great stuff. We appreciate it. Let's do this again sometime.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
All right, Chris Vanini from The Athletic, national college football writer, joining us here on the program. And, man, Bucky, he said something in there that certainly jarred me. And I started thinking about this image, and I know we don't have a lot of time to get into it, but, I mean, I think the Pac-12 has done it the right way. You know this. I think that they have done it the right way. And I hope that in this time where they decided – you know, we're not ready to launch a season, and we'll try to get it in the spring. And now that it looks like they're on the verge of deciding we're going back to football, I hope that they have satisfied all of the concerns that they had over the health and safety protocol, and they're not rushing back just out of pure peer pressure or motivated financially. I think they had the right notion in mind, and a lot of these colleges out there, a lot of these programs are facing some really hazards by deciding to go ahead and put football first over everything else. And so I'm almost like imagining like this circle of college kids, and they're, you know, they're doing like rails, and the bad kids are like, come do a rail. And then the Pac-12's like, no, I don't need that. And then the Pac-12, all of a sudden, out of peer pressure, is like, I guess if everybody's going to do it, everybody's making fun of me for not doing it. All right, I'm going to come do it. I'm hoping that they are ready to go, that they made a bold decision, stuck with that decision, and now are going to be able to execute a safe and healthy protocol to launch this season, and they're not just caving to peer pressure and are going with half measures and aren't thinking this thing all the way through. I hope that that's the case. I'm going to trust that that's the case.
I'm sure that that's the case. I mean, to some degree, I'm sure that they didn't like the idea of all the negative pub when all of a sudden the other three Power Five conferences said, no, we're still going to go forward. And then you have some people going, well, it's not going to affect these guys. They're young. They're healthy. It doesn't. That's not the population that this is the most negative towards. I'm sure they didn't like that. But at the same time, I don't think that they were going to cave simply because of that, because they knew that backlash was going to come before they made the announcement. So I think that there's somewhere in between there. And I think there is a happy medium somewhere between you use extreme caution and you do what you think you need to do, which is in the best interest of you, your university, and your student athletes. And then there's there is part of this that we do have to figure out a way to coexist with. And I think that's where it came down to. And the testing part of it, to me, is the part that has made it to where now you're going to be able to keep, you're not going to be able to keep the bug from entering your locker room ever, but you're going to be able to keep it from spreading from one guy to the entire the entire locker room, and that's the key to this whole thing, because whether they're playing or not, they're still susceptible to getting this, catching the COVID. So I think it's the right decision. I think they're doing it because it's the safest way that they can do it, too.
Yeah, I want to point out as we get ready to close out this segment, this isn't, I mean, yes, this is about keeping the student-athletes healthy and safe and making sure they have this safe environment. But also, there's a bigger picture here, people. I mean, we're in sports talk radio. Let me remind you how important sports is to my life. And yet, we have to accept the fact and we have to acknowledge the fact that the bigger concern here is we don't want the student-athletes contributing to a bigger problem in society by taking it, anything that they caught at practice, and then taking it out into society, family members, friends, whatever the case may be, and extending the issue further. That's the biggest issue of them all. So keeping them safe, those two factors are the most important factors, and we'll play football at some point. And it sounds like we're going to play it sooner than later. And as long as they feel good and they're given the check marks, and we made a lot of progress in this downtime, and we're ready to go more so than any other conference out there, and they can start by October 31st or October 23rd or November 7th, yeah, then I'm on board with it. So I hope that they've done the right things, that they feel comfortable with doing the right things, and then we proceed with the football season and not the other way around. All right, coming up next, we close out the show with one last thing on Sports Radio 950.